More U.S. strikes in Syria.
They struck two targets.
Amid warnings of possible revenge attacks here.
Unrest in Ferguson, Missouri.
Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot!
New sale at Walmart.
They're going to start offering checking accounts.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The American military has been in action again in Syria, a second round of strikes against terrorist targets as officials here at home warn about possible retaliation. CBS's David Martin begins our team coverage. He has the latest from the Pentagon.
Overnight, they spotted an ISIS staging area very near to the Iraqi border, and they struck it. Initial reports are that they damaged 8 ISIL vehicles located inside Syria, but were probably either on their way or coming back from Iraq.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. Officials at the Department of Homeland Security say there's no specific threat in America because of the start of U.S. airstrikes in Syria, but the department and the FBI have sent a bulletin to state, local, and federal law enforcement with the latest intelligence. CBS News has learned that police are advised to look out for lone wolves and very small groups that might stage attacks, perhaps using the name of the Islamic State or ISIS.
I'm Dave Barrett.
The threat stream is very high.
L.A. Deputy Police Chief Michael Downing says since airstrikes on ISIS targets began, there is no specific threat known in his city, but
we expect some type of backlash from this.
In New York,
we are the number one terror target in the United States. We were yesterday. We will be tomorrow. We will be for years to come.
Mayor Bill de Blasio says if there's an ISIS threat domestically, it's
deeply troubling, but it doesn't change our strategic approach.
Now we're learning more about the terror group Khorasan, which was targeted by U.S. airstrikes in Syria this week. Correspondent Bob Orr.
Sources tell us the group includes Al-Qaeda explosives experts who've experimented in the past with making non-metallic bombs that could be hidden in things like shoes, clothing, cell phones, laptops, even tubes of toothpaste. Khorasan, which takes orders from Al-Qaeda chief Ayman al-Zawahiri, has been also trying to recruit American and European radicals who've gone to Syria. Those people have passports that could allow them to more easily sneak bombs aboard U.S.-bound flights.
President Obama says the battle against ISIS and other terror groups will not be America's fight alone. CBS's Pam Coulter tells us he'll try to make that case at the United Nations.
President Obama will use today's U.N. speech and chairmanship of a Security Council meeting to rally the world against a rapidly growing terror threat.
And he will ask the international community to mount an international effort to constrain and undermine ISIS through whatever legal and policy tools they have.
The Woodrow Wilson Center's Aaron David Miller says the president will make it clear he expects other nations to follow the U.S. lead in fighting ISIS without raising expectations. He says the threat will last long after Barack Obama leaves the White House. Pam Coulter, CBS News, with the president in New York.
In Australia, where authorities say they thwarted an ISIS-inspired attack plan last week, a terror suspect was shot and killed yesterday after he stabbed 2 counter-terror officers as he was being brought in for questioning. Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
This indicates that there are people in our community who are capable of very extreme acts.
And in Jordan, a military court acquitted a radical Muslim cleric today on trial for a millennium plot 14 years ago, an alleged plan to attack American and Israeli tourists. Here at home, new anger in the streets of Ferguson, Missouri.
This is what democracy looks like!
Protests fueled by a fire that destroyed one of 2 makeshift memorials for Michael Brown, the black unarmed teenager shot and killed by a white police officer. How the fire started isn't clear. This woman says the St. Louis suburb needs to heal.
And I really feel that it's our time now, you know, to get us back together, to get our community back.
Virginia police are stepping up the pressure on a man seen with a college student just before she vanished. CBS's Jim Krasula is following the story.
A 32-year-old man has gone from a person of interest to a suspect in the disappearance of University of Virginia co-ed Hannah Graham.
We appeared before a magistrate and obtained an arrest warrant for Jesse Leroy Matthew Jr. of Charlottesville, charging him with a Class 2 felony of abduction with the intent to defile.
Charlottesville Police Chief Timothy Longo believes Matthew is the person last seen with Graham on a restaurant surveillance video.
Police had been keeping tabs on Matthew, but he slipped out of sight a few days ago. In Northern California, crews battling a big wildfire east of Sacramento have been able to extend containment lines. 2,000 new firefighters have now joined the battle. Fire official Jason Lamberth says there's optimism the worst may be over.
Overall, everything's looking real good. We're starting to get a handle on the situation here.
The fire, which has destroyed 12 homes, is now 35% contained. Erratic winds expected yesterday never materialized, but they could be a factor today. The world's biggest retailer, which sells everything from TVs to turnips, now would like to show you something in the banking aisle. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
Walmart says it's going to offer low-cost checking accounts to customers 18 and over who pass an ID check. The new GoBank accounts through Green Dot Corporation won't charge fees for overdrafts, bounced checks, or low balances. They're geared to customers who have poor credit or little access to traditional banking. Walmart's trying to bring back its core low-budget shoppers who've turned to cheaper retailers in recent years.
More than a dozen anti-addiction groups are calling for the FDA commissioner, Dr. Margaret Hamburg, to be replaced. They allege FDA policies have only fed a national epidemic of prescription painkiller abuse. The National Football League is named in a new lawsuit filed by the family of former defensive back Paul Oliver. Oliver, who took his own life a year ago, suffered from depression linked to head trauma. The suit claims the league knew about concussion risks for decades but didn't take action. Well, hundreds of students walked out of their classrooms at several high schools in suburban Denver yesterday, a protest over a school board proposal led by conservatives that they don't like.
It's to create a committee that would revise the AP United States History textbook so that it would include less about civil disobedience and promote patriotism.
One student said, "I don't think my education should be censored." It's happened before. It'll probably happen again. A top world leader overheard saying something best kept private.
Prime Minister David Cameron is in royal hot water, caught on an open microphone revealing to former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg the Queen purred when he phoned to tell her Scots voted down independence.
That was the time in the middle of the campaign.
It's strict protocol. Discussions with a monarch are kept confidential. Political columnist Quentin Letts put Cameron's gaffe this way.
Dear, oh dear, it's really stupid. Of him. He will be feeling wretched and embarrassed about it. Singing like a canary.
No comment from Buckingham Palace, but the Queen will not be amused. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
He may have never been the picture of health, but new photos of jailed music legend Phil Spector are startling and viral. One shows a bald, drawn-looking Spector during an October transfer to a prison medical facility. He sported a big hair wig during his murder trial. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kaif, CBS News.